trust the Lord will be with us tonight. I think He will. He promised to be with us. I'd like to, this evening, like to write four names on the board to start with. Written four names on the board. Elijah, Joshua, Peter, and Paul. And this evening, before I write the title or talk about the subject of our little lesson tonight, and of course I've had time to prepare for this, so I'm going to ask you this question cold. What do these men all have in common relative to what God said to them? God said, or His Spirit said something to each of these four men. You know what it is? What it was? He told all of them when they were in trouble. In so many words and very close to the same words, He said to them to arise and go. Arise and go. Do you remember? Elijah and Joshua and Peter, and at this time, when he said that, that was Saul. Changed his name to Paul. And I thought maybe for just a few minutes, we could record some one or two word descriptions of what we think as people, as a congregation this evening, how we feel that they felt just prior to the Lord saying, arise and go. Now, we can maybe review in a little bit some of the details about it, but remember, Elijah was running from Jezebel, got up there under a tree and thought it was all over with, and the Lord came along and said, Elijah, arise. And he had something for him to go do. Joshua, they had just won a great battle, and then they went to battle at Ai following the fall of Jericho, and they had a lot of confidence, and they lost. And Joshua was on his face, and the Lord came along and said, what are you doing down here? Get up. And he had something for him to go do. Peter was in prison, chained between two guards. And the Lord came along and said, he struck him. Said, get up. Told him to put his shoes on and his clothes on. He needed his shoes on because he had somewhere for him to go. And Paul struck down on the road to Damascus. And the Lord was there speaking to him. But when he got done, he told them, arise and go. Remember? How do you think Elijah felt right before the Lord came? The situation he was in running from Jezebel. This morning, we spoke of feelings and emotions that are very real. Being human beings, very real. These were men that had very real emotions and feelings like we have. What do you think Elijah felt? No right or wrong answer. Maybe we could just get a few one or two word descriptions under these men. Alone. What else?
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. What had he been told? You got 24 hours and you're gonna have your life. Anything else? He felt alone.
He was discouraged.
Alone, he felt fear, he was discouraged. How about Joshua?
Defeated.
Defeated. Good. Defeated. Confused. He thought, they thought all was good. But he was defeated and no doubt confused. Anyone else? Joshua? How about Peter?
Well, he was different in that situation. He was called back. He was asleep between. I imagine. I don't know what he felt before he went to sleep.
Well, let's talk about before he went to sleep then. He's chained between two guards. Did they play softball back then? Did the Romans play softball? Or did they play hardball? They played hardball, didn't they?
All he knew, he was going to be killed the next morning.
So, he might have felt some fear too. I don't know. I'm human, and if I was chained between two soldiers and knowing what I knew about the Romans, I'd probably have a little fear.
Abandoned.
Trapped. He couldn't go if he wanted to go. He was in true captivity and bondage. Trapped. Alright? How about Paul? Okay, let's think about what Paul felt like after the Lord struck him down. And he said to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting God. Why are you persecuting my people? And so in that moment, when God helped him understand that he had been persecuting God's people, how would you feel?
Devastated.
Devastated. All right. Devastated.
Probably humiliated to think of what he'd been doing. Could be fearful too.
Well, if God came along and said, you have been spending your life persecuting and killing my people, I'd probably be kind of fearful too.
What was fixing to happen?
Anyone else?
Confused?
Yeah, I mean, this was something new for him too. It's like, what? All this time, I was the chief of the Pharisees. I'm a religious person. I'm persecuting your people? Confused. Someone said confused. Has anybody here ever felt any of those things? So Elijah, we'll move through these kind of quickly. In 1 Kings, I'm not going to turn and read. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We find Elijah Maybe he felt burned out too. Find Elijah, he felt alone. Thought he was the only one left. He was probably fearful because he was hiding, wasn't he? And he was running. And he was discouraged for a host of reasons. He was probably tired too. Exhausted.
He had been at a high point.
Yes. So you talk about having an emotional high to an emotional low in the span of less than 24 hours. So he probably felt tired physically, and he was tired emotionally. And the Lord came along, and Elijah said, "Well, why don't we just call this to an end? It'd be good if I just go ahead and die. There's no real reason for me to be living anymore." And the Lord came along and he said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." Arise and eat. And notice that the Lord didn't rebuke him. He didn't just rebuke and spend a whole lot of time telling him how bad it was for him to maybe have these feelings and emotions, although he helped start to kind of realign that you're not alone. There's a bunch of others that haven't bowed either. But he came and he told him to arise. Get up, Joshua, and eat. And so the Lord nourished him. And then you know what he did? He recommissioned him. The Lord nourished him, and then he recommissioned him. "It got something more for you to do. There's somewhere else to go. You need to get up from where you are. You need to get your mind turned back, pointed forward. I have something for you to do besides die under a tree." Joshua, in the 7th chapter of Joshua, defeated and confused. They had, a short time before, won a great battle at Jericho. I mean, it just looked like they had this thing figured out, which was do exactly what God says to do, and you will win this great battle. I'll go before you. The walls will come down. And they won this great battle. But then they went up to lowly Ai and they lost a battle they shouldn't have lost. And so Joshua, the scripture tells us, he got down in the dirt. I think it said he got on his face. But he got down in the dirt, on the ground. And the Lord came along and the Lord said to Joshua, What are you doing down here?" And he said something else to him. "Get up. It was certainly a wake-up call for Joshua and for the Israelites. There was sin in the camp. There was something wrong. They had been defeated. And Joshua was confused because he didn't understand the sin that was in the camp. But he was affected by it. He just didn't understand it. And he knew they had been defeated. And he probably wasn't sure what he was supposed to do next. So somebody said, confused. And so the Lord helped him understand their sin that's in the camp. So yes, it was a wake-up call. But it was also a path forward. The Lord didn't leave them without direction on what it was that they needed to do. And it became a turning point for much good and for much victory ahead. When the Lord came and he said, "Okay, Joshua, get up. There's still more land for you to obtain. Yes, you were defeated. You don't understand exactly what's wrong, but I'm going to help you understand what's wrong. And now you have the opportunity to pivot, to adjust, to correct, so that now you can get up and you can go, because there is more land for you." Peter, in the 12th chapter of Acts, chained between two guards. And as we mentioned, if we were in Peter's shoes, likely would feel fear, probably felt alone too, trapped, life at stake. And it said that the angel came along, and it said he struck him, and he told Peter to get up. Did he say get up slowly? He said get up quickly, I think. Get up quickly. Get up. And so Peter did. He got up. And what happened after he got up? At least if you read it chronologically, the chains fell off. When he got up, when he heard the Lord say, "Peter, get up quickly," even though he felt trapped, even though he was fearful, the guards were still there. Everything was still like it was at this point. And he said, "Get up quickly." And Peter did what the Lord said to do in the moment. And when he did, when he got up, the chains fell off. Sometimes, folks, it requires us getting up for the chains to fall off. Sometimes it requires getting up to be able to see past our fear, to not feel alone, and to recognize that the Lord is with us. Sometimes it requires getting up for the things that hold us in captivity to fall away. And so Peter got up and the chains fell away. But it didn't end there. The angel had a message for Peter. Get your shoes on and get your clothes on, because this isn't where your end is going to be. We are going to go. And so they did. Saul, in the 9th chapter of Acts, boy, Saul at that time, he himself said that in one place, he brought out his pedigree, if you will, the Pharisees, who he had been taught by, how well he had kept the law. I mean, it sounds like he at one time viewed himself as really having it all together from a religious standpoint. Really had it together, was really had a lot of zeal. In fact, he got carried away with the zeal, didn't he? It's dangerous to have zeal without knowledge. Another message. Zeal without knowledge. He had a lot of zeal. But the Lord came along, and sometimes we can be like Saul. We can grow up in the church. We can grow up hearing the word of the Lord. We can start to feel like that I know what I'm supposed to do. I've got this figured out. I do these things, and I don't do these things, and I go here, and I don't go there, and I do this, and I don't do that, and my mom and dad lived this way, and my grandparents lived this way, and my great-grandparents have been in this church all my life, and this is how it is, and onward we charge. Until one day the Lord comes along and strikes us down. In some way. Doesn't always do it like he did to Saul. And it's like, Rod, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is your point? Do you not recognize that you're causing harm by this thing that you're doing over here? You know, when the Lord comes and has to take drastic measures sometimes to get the attention of the lifted up religious person, it can be quite a fall. But it's the mercy of the Lord. It's the mercy of the Lord that that happens. I thought I was doing right, Lord. Who else? I thought I was it. I thought I was the epitome of spirituality. I was the example. Lord, I was holding the standard like nobody else held it. Lord, there was nobody that was going to move me off of this point. And the Lord's saying, I know, I saw that. I saw what was going on. And you are hindering my work with your approach. You're hurting the cause of God by the way that you are going about your religious activities. You know, we can find ourselves there in our lives. Except for the grace of God. And he probably did. Felt devastated. Humiliated. Fearful. What does this mean for me now? Maybe a little confused as he was trying to wrap his mind around. But I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. I thought I was supposed to stand strong in this area and charge forward regardless of the casualties because I'm standing for what is right. I thought. And the Lord said, you're missing it in this area over here. You're missing it and you're hurting my cause. And so you probably did feel some confusion. But do you know what the Lord said to him? He didn't leave him there. He talked with him a little bit. And he told him, he said, get up. Arise. I want you to go into the city. I have something else for you to do. And it marked the turning point for Saul. And going from being persecutor to apostle. The mercy of the Lord. You see, when the Lord comes along and he issues a command of get up. Arise. Go. It's not just a command to show you that I'm God and you're human. I'm big and you're small. I can tell you what to do because I can. It's not, It's not just to satisfy a sense of justice with God that now he's going to make us do what he wants us to do just for the sake of making us do what he wants us to do. But when the Lord comes along and he issues a command of get up, rise, go. It's not just a command. It's a lifeline. It's a lifeline. When the Lord says to us, get up. And when he says, go. It's one way that the Lord is saying to us, you're not forgotten. You're not disqualified by the grace of God. You're not finished. This doesn't have to be the end. When the Lord says, get up, go. There's somewhere else for you to go. I have work for you to do if you'll accept the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, I want to use you. It's a call. It's a call to rise up from the place of fear and discouragement and weariness. It's a call to rise up from those places where we feel defeated and confused and perhaps abandoned and trapped. When the Lord says arise, it's a call to rise up from those places where we feel devastated in our own failure. Maybe humiliated. It's a call to rise up from that. To get up and to go and enter into a place of grace, an unmerited favor of God. It's a time to get up and go with spiritual purpose and reason, because the Lord came along to help us when we couldn't help ourselves. To us all this evening, do you ever feel these? That's a rhetorical question. You know why? Because we all know the answer to that question. That's what a rhetorical question is. You ask a question that everybody already knows the answer to. Yes, sometimes we feel alone. Yes, sometimes we feel fear. There are emotions, there are feelings. We're human. We're going to have them. Yes, sometimes we're going to feel discouragement as Christians. Elijah, Joshua, Peter, Paul. Tired? We're going to feel tired and weary. In well-doing, we're going to be tempted to be tired. I don't want to be weary in doing what's right, but sometimes we can become tired as we labor in this life. You ever feel confused as a Christian? Do you ever look at something in your Christian life and you just maybe like Paul was for some moments, where it's like, what? Lord, you said what? You mean what? I'm supposed to turn where? You ever feel trapped? I don't know which way to go. I can't turn right and I can't turn left and I don't know how to go forwards. And I look behind me and there's a wall there. I feel like I have nowhere to move. And we can feel like that in life sometimes. We've all lived life. You know what that sometimes feels like, to be trapped and not able to make the moves that you believe you need to make to create a better space for yourself, to create a better circumstance for yourself. You feel like you have a vision of what you need to do, but there's no path to get there. Trapped. And I suspect that sometimes as Christians, have you ever felt devastated with yourself? Oh Lord, why did I do that? Lord, I thought I was better than that. Lord, I thought all this time, I thought I had something more than where I'm finding myself today. And we can feel devastated. Not just me, is it? Probably more than once, huh? Consider this truth tonight. The word of the Lord, this was given by inspiration. It was given by inspiration to those to record this, that it might be compiled and preserved and shared for our inspiration. The word of the Lord was inspired of God, that we might be inspired by it. Which means tonight that when we face times and places in our lives where we feel this, the Lord is also saying to you, arise, get up, you don't have to stay down here. Go. You're not disqualified. You're not forgotten. This doesn't have to be the end for you. I still have a place and a special place at my table and in the work of the Lord for you, if we'll arise and if we'll be willing to go. Don't listen to those whispers that say you might as well just stay put. Just stay down. You've tried to get up before. Didn't work then. Isn't going to work now. Listen, in the fear of the Lord, when He comes our way, regardless of how many times you have fallen, regardless how many times you have risen back up, when we find ourselves in these places, the word of the Lord is saying to us, arise. Go in the grace of God. Let's be encouraged by this tonight. Let us use the word of the Lord that was given by inspiration for our inspiration when the enemy of our soul would come and try to steal, kill, and destroy that which God paid a great price to preserve. The Lord says to us all tonight, arise and go in faith.